You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50pm with Mick Norton, Ollie Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's an afternoon of jumps racing with national meetings at Fontwell, Hexham and Musselburgh, and an all-weather evening with racing at Chelmsford domestically and Dundalk over the Irish Sea. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm extremely well. It's bonfire night. The fireworks will be flying here throughout the day at William Hill Towers. And then we look forward to the William Hill very own banger. And I mean old banger. Mick Norton's back in town tomorrow. Happy days.
I'm sure he'll appreciate you saying that, Pimmy.
He will indeed. He will indeed. He's just glad to be here.
We'll start with a bit of news, Pimmy, as we usually do. And then we'll get stuck into the four races that we have for Friday. No real standout story, so we'll just have a little bit of a general chat, if you like. And the front page story today is the Gosden winner, Wajiz, who won at Nottingham on Thursday. He's got a quote of around 20-1 for the Derby, and they're comparing him to Golden Horn, given that it was the same track and he was an impressive winner. What did you make of the performance?
I thought it was a good performance. I thought the second horse was a good yardstick, having that run really well on debut, the Mark Johnson horse. He absolutely couldn't get a blowing at the Sheikh Hamdan owned winner, and again he was very, very impressive. John Gosden spoke of him in high regard. He's going to be put away now for the winter, brought back for a campaign next year, and he's in the right hands, that's for sure, isn't he? So again, plenty to look forward to for the Gosden team with that horse, that's for sure.
On the front page of the paper there, it says gets a 20-1 Derby quote. Well, we're 33-1, so how about that?
Well, worth the best value in town, aren't we? Say no more, buddy.
Yeah.
And to be honest, at 33-1, I think that's quite juicy myself, and I wouldn't be avail of having a little bit each way there, that's for sure, because at 33s, that's cracking value.
While we're on the subject of flat runners as well, the November handicap comes up on Saturday. Big day to look forward to at Doncaster in terms of the traditional finale to the flat season, and it'll also be the final day we'll see Hayley Turner in the saddle, Pimmy.
That's right, yeah. I think she's got a few opportunities before Saturday afternoon to end her career on a high. It was nice to see her in a winner at her native Southall yesterday, where I think she actually had her first ever ride in public there at Southall, so that would have been nice for her. And again, she's had an illustrious career in terms of a lady rider, and we wish her well. And who knows, one day you might be listening to her on William Hill Radio, or even seeing her in your local betting office on the screen.
How would you fancy that? You sat opposite Mick Norton, Hayley Turner sat next to you, and Ken on the line. Would that be a dream show for you?
Oh, that would be a dream show, wouldn't it? Yeah. Or what about one of the other girls sat in the presenter's seat?
Yeah.
And Hayley Turner. Wow. And
you're just
Catherine
greedy.
Fry.
You're just getting greedy.
No, Catherine
now.
Fry, an all-girl show. And we could just get a wig for Ken.
Yeah. I'm sure he'd enjoy that.
That would be happy days, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got an opinion in the November handicap? Hayley Turner rides Buonarotti there, by the way.
So. To be perfectly honest, Mark, I haven't had a good look at that.
No.
I do know that in terms of the William Hill Naps table, it's the end of the season.
Yep.
And it looks like our very own comedian Ross Briley is going to land the spoils, doesn't it?
He's quite a way clear now.
Is he?
Sam Turner's still trying to chop him down.
Yeah, bit late. Again, came in the other day, put the telly on. I heard Sam Turner.
Yeah, on Channel 4.
Channel 4, yeah. On a Saturday afternoon. The dogs went crackers when they heard him.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been on the morning line and everything now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And again, the great thing about when he was on Channel 4 last week, we didn't see him. Because right. He'd have had something bizarre on, wouldn't he?
Well, we're sitting here with a fashion icon. I mean, you and Gokwan, you're...
Similar, yes. Yeah. Similar, yeah, yeah.
You both wear glasses anyway.
All right, okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Bit of other news as well. Richard Hughes had his first winner as a trainer.
Yeah, he does indeed. Yeah, it's at Kempton Park. I think, again, there's a little bit of a thing to be taken out here. When the wife goes, looks like he's going to have a good time of it. Because it says she went first couple of runners just to give him a bit of support. Mm. Since then, he's not really fancied anything. Last night, he said, I think this will win. She turned up.
Right.
So she's obviously one of those groupies that only wants to be there when things are going to happen.
Yeah. So if you see her there, you know.
If you see Lizzie Hughes at the races, watch out, because he could well be having a winner.
Mm. Fair enough. Bit of jumps news as well. Saida Grugie was obviously quite disappointing on his reappearance in the Holden Gold Cup at Exeter. Apparently they're considering sending him over hurdles next before Tingle Creek because he needs his confidence back, by the looks of things.
Yeah. I think, again, it's an interesting scenario, this, Mark, to be honest, and we've just had a little bit of a brief chat about it off-air. I mean, that season between the 21st of April 2013 and the 26th of April 2014, he was unbeaten during that period. He was the king of two-mile chasing. And then all of a sudden, the following season, 7th of Feb, Newbury, he unseats the rider. He then wins a race at 5-4 favourite at Chepstow. Then runs disappointing, to be fair, when he's only fourth of nine, beaten 10 lengths to Dodging Bullets in the Queen Mother. He then has a nasty-looking fall at Aintree. And then in his comeback run this year, you know, after, 6 months between April and November, he bitterly disappointed. Now, you do have to ask yourself, has this fella just lost the plot a little bit? Has he lost his confidence? Has he lost the will to be a successful racehorse as he was between April 2013 and 2014? It remains to be seen. Again, it's interesting that they're thinking about going down that hurdling route. You know, it's not the first time we've seen this, is it? Sprinter Sacker was very similar, although he had issues that was well documented. This guy has had problems, but not serious issues.
Yeah.
But it might just not be the physical issues, it might be the mental issues that might be troubling him. So, for me, it's a very much watch this space for him. Hopefully, he can get his confidence back and get back onto winning ways, but I'd be watching before I'd start playing with them again.
Yeah. The cynics around would say they never come back when they have a few problems.
And I think more than likely, whether you're cynical or whether you're realistic, history does actually tell us that that's the case.
Mm.
So, let's hope he comes back. But I'd be saying it's less likely than likely.
Okay. Just sticking with the jump scene quickly as well before we move on to Friday's action. The Triple Crown was obviously talked about quite a lot, £1 million on offer for any horse that could win the Betfair Chase, the William Hill King George, and the Gold Cup. Yep. William Mullin's obviously not interested because he hasn't got any declared in the Betfair Chase.
Very interesting. And again, you'd have thought that million would have been tempting. And even if he didn't particularly think he was going to have any runners in there, to have entered them to give himself the option,
yeah,
I would have thought might have been the case. But his body swerved it. I know Willie Mullins is very, very wealthy in his own right, but again, a little £1 million bonus wouldn't have gone amiss, would it?
No.
It would have seen us out for a couple of meals and a couple of beers, Mark.
Exactly. You know? I wouldn't turn it down if I had the chance.
No, exactly. Yeah, but the only thing is, I don't think you'd be able to run in all three races.
No, I don't think I'd get round.
I don't think you'd get round, no. But we might just think about that for next season.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get you into training.
All right.
See how we get on. Yeah.
Yeah. The Betfair Chase, by the way, if you haven't seen the decks yet, if all of these horses turn up, it will be a cracking renewal. And we've got Silviniaco Conte at the head of the betting with us at the moment at 13-8, Don Cossack 7-2, Q Card 9-2, Coningree 6-1, 7s for Sapphire de Rur, Ballinagore 10s with Holywell, and Road to Riches and 12s or bigger for the others.
Yeah, I must admit, I was glad to see Q Card back on form at Weatherby last weekend. Throughout the race, I just thought, gosh, he's a bit keen here. He's just pulling a little bit. Is he going to see it out? His jumping was fantastic. I thought Brennan gave him a peach of a ride. Once they came into that home straight, every time he nicked that inside rail, just saved a little bit of ground. And again, a real fluent jump at the final fence just sealed it for him. But yeah, it was good to see him come back because, again, slightly and not quite as high profile as Saida Grugie. He has had a few issues along the way, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And again, he's bounced back. And I thought that was a great performance. And again, it was amazing how the Weatherby crowd responded because he's been around quite a while now.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like Marmite. You either love him or hate him.
Mm.
But if you are a lover of him, you'll have been delighted to see him put up that performance at the weekend.
Yeah, it was good to see him back to somewhere near his best, and he's had his wind tinkered with a little bit, and it seems to have worked. At least he started on a positive note.
Definitely.
He had a tricky old season last year, didn't he?
So. Well, again, like I said, a little bit like Saïda Guirouji's, where, you know, things just didn't quite happen for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Break, wind up, and he was back to his something like his best.
Yeah. All right, well, let's leave that there. We'll move on to Friday's racing. Pumi's got four races picked out for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going to take a look at races from Fontwell, Musselburgh and Chelmsford City. So we'll spin through them in chronological order. The 240 at Fontwell is the first of them, and this is a mare's handicap hurdle over 2 miles and three furlongs. A field of six here, Pimmy. Who do you like in there?
Ooh, mares only. Tricky little event, that's for sure. You've got one or two of them coming back off an absence. You've got Fury Reel, 232 days. You've got Flute Bowl, 230, and Abundantly, 221. And also Aces Over Eights, 219 days. So, you know, four of them have coming back off after a break. You've got Avispa, who ran well enough in defeat last time out when finishing second. And you've also got Gene Fleming, who ran well enough in defeat last time out when finishing second. But I'm going to take a chance here with Abundantly from the very much informed yard of Venetia Williams. She's just starting to hit top gear. She had a fantastic November in 2014. I think November is a very much a month for her stable, and I think Abundantly can make winning debut tomorrow. Callum Williams takes a valuable £3 off her back, takes her weight down to 10 stone 6. She's very tough and consistent. Personally, I didn't think she lost a lot in defeat when she was second behind Cassisis at Chepstow last time out. That was on soft ground. Going to get similar sort of conditions tomorrow. I think she's fresh, she's well, and she just slightly might have a little bit more progress in there than one or two of the others.
Okay, Abundantly the selection for Pimmy in the 240. Moving to Musselburgh for their 3 o'clock next. This one is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over just short of 2 miles. We've got eight of them in the lineup here, and I suppose Aristo Duplessis would be the logical starting point, given that he was a pretty comfortable winner at Ayr last time in a higher grade than this as well.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I want to take my hat off to Musselburgh. Some fantastic prize money on offer tomorrow. £8,500 for this race. The next race we're going to preview, I think, is just short of £12,000 to the winner. So, you know, cracking prize money on offer. And again, it's quite nice to see a decent prize with the majority of the horses running it trained north of England, Scotland. So, happy days, hopefully. Mr. Hennessy's not going to win it with Spaceship and take it back to Ireland. And Charlie Mann's not going to win it with Quebec and take it back to Lambourne. Interesting race, that's for sure. But I think everything points to Aristo Duplessis. Fantastic form at the moment. Dale Irving, good value for his £5. And this horse, despite his £6 penalty for that win 6 days ago, is the one that's really they've got to beat. He's in great form. And I'll be disappointed if he doesn't land the spoils once again.
Aristo Duplessis then for Pimmy in the 3 o'clock. The 3:30 is where we go next. This one is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. It's a qualifier for the Challenger Middle Distance Chase Series Final. And we've got a field of eight here, Pimmy. Village Vic, I suppose we'll start with that one, comes here in pretty good nick as well.
He does indeed, yeah. He was in great form when he beat Yupito by a neck last time out at Wetherby. That was a cracking finish to that race as well, as so many races were on that opening meeting at Wetherby back in the middle of October. But again, this horse is in good nick. The Hobbs Yard's in great form. Richard Johnson, what can you say about him? God, blimey. Tony McCoy, good job you hung up those boots when you did, buddy, because Johnson is firing, absolutely firing. I'm sure, again, he's taking a lot of the mounts that McCoy would have taken, all those spare rides that were going McCoy used to get, now Johnson's getting. But again, it's brilliant to see him getting so much success and stays in one piece, and that elusive title will be his. So yeah, I hope this is another winner for Dickie Johnson at Village Vic, because I thought he won very nicely last time out. Also thought the couple in there was interesting was Codasil from the Mark Walford yard. His horse has been in good form of late, Mark, and I think again, even the Irish Challenger Run with the Wind, who disappointed, to be fair, last time out when he pulled up at Wetherby, but prior to that his form was pretty good. If he can forgive him that run last time out, he might outrun his price tomorrow, Run with the Wind. But the selection will be Village Vic.
Village Vic, the selection then to follow up His Weatherby success at Musselburgh. And the final race that we look at is the 6.10 at Chelmsford City. This one is a Class 2 handicap over a mile and three quarters. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of six here. And the two Godolphin runners, well clear of the rest on ratings, Famous Kid and Anglophile. Do you see it between the two, Pimmy?
Most certainly do see it between the two. Looking at Anglophile, he's very tough. He's very consistent. He ran well enough in defeat last time out when we saw him at Lingfield. That was over 2 miles. Don't think the two furlong dropping trip will be too much of a hindrance for him there. And again, prior to that, he was a readied winner. So he's an interesting player, that is for sure, Anglophile. But I think Famous Kid is the one to be on. A, Kevin Stott takes £3 off his back. Gives him a little bit of an advantage there as well. And B, I mean, this fella, Famous Kid, has been plying his trade in some very hot, hot company of late. He's going to find this an awful lot easier than the race he ran in at York behind Austronerius. And again, prior to that, he was highly tried as well. So, stepping down in grade tomorrow for Famous Kid, I don't think the 118 days absence will bother him. And for me, he's the one they've got to beat.
Famous Kid, the selection for Pimmy then. Let's just have a bit of a summary then, Pimmy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, we will indeed. In the 2.40 at Fontwell, we're going to start with Abundantly. 3 o'clock up at Musselburgh, Aristo de Plessis. 3.30 at Musselburgh, Village Vic. And we're finishing in the 6.10 at Chelmsford City with the Famous Kid.
Very good. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
My pleasure.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12.50pm. Mick Norton, Ollie Pimlott and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio. It's an afternoon of jumps action with Fontwell, Hexham and Musselburgh all staging national hunt cards, and an evening of all-weather racing at Chelmsford City and Dundalk. So do tune in for all of that. Plenty to look forward to. Thanks for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.